1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Gas prices continue to drop. The government says the national average for regular dropped another 2 cents in the past week to $3.29 a gallon.
Americans are now paying 52 cents less per gallon of gas than a year ago at this time. Over Labor Day, Gas Buddy predicts Americans saved over $750 million compared to Labor Day of last year because of lower gas prices. It's a result of lower oil prices globally, weakening demand from China, less driving in the U.S., and no major refinery problems.
ABC's Alex Stone. A federal judge in Rockford, Illinois, ruled that the state's law banning concealed carry of firearms on public transit is unconstitutional. In Lehi, Utah, police say the mom went inside a convenience store, leaving her 8-year-old son alone in the car. He found mom's loaded gun under a seat in the car and accidentally fatally shot himself. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at wiss.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new study finds most people in Wisconsin already have PFAS in their bloodstreams. James Kelly reports.
A new study from the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health examined over 600 participants and found the strongest link between high PFAS levels and lifestyle in older men who eat freshly caught fish. Scientists say they didn't see any surprising patterns, and there was no evidence that eating fresh fish was the cause of the higher levels at this time. I'm James Kelly.
President Biden is coming back to Wisconsin for the first time since he dropped his re-election bid. The White House confirms the president will stop in Westby on Thursday. The White House says President Biden will talk about prescription drug costs, clean energy, and advanced manufacturing. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The NFL season is now just hours away. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Green Bay Packers will open up the season Friday night in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. Coach Matt LaFleur says the Packers players are ready to get the season going.
I think our guys are truly excited. There's been a lot of work that's been put in from the end of last season to now. I think they are excited about the opportunity to go out there and compete, you know, in front of the world.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. on Friday. Tomorrow night, the Ravens and Chiefs get the NFL season started. The St. Louis Cardinals were able to move a game back up in the standings behind the Brewers with a 7-4 win in 12 innings last night. The game was tied at 3 going into extras before St. Louis got 3 runs in the 12th inning to win. Now Milwaukee is 10 games up on the Cubs and 11 on the Cardinals going into Wednesday night's series finale with St. Louis. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media this week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, Ben and Deanna Malkar will join us to talk about big changes in real estate.
And then we'll talk Sputnik Fest in Manitowoc with Greg Van Name.
Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, it will be clear with a low of 58. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible. Upper 70s to low 80s for highs, and then a little taste of fall with highs dropping into the 60s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Matt and Air on Air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm back on the home court in Green Bay and welcome the hilarious comedian and Wisconsin native Mary Mack. And from HBO's hit show Hacks, actress Rose Abdu joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Boy, always great to travel, but wonderful to come home. Good morning, everyone. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke, fresh off our Alaska farm tour. All kinds of pictures up on Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook if you want to take a look. I'll be talking about the guests that we had a chance to visit with on our trip over the course of the next couple of weeks. Stand by for that. Weather-wise, I'll tell you what, it's nice to come home to beautiful weather in Wisconsin, and that's exactly what we've all got coming our way today. Plenty of sunshine. Looks like daytime highs today easily going to push into the upper 70s. You folks in the La Crosse area, you could actually touch out in the low 80s. Enjoy it while we've got it. Thursday, we've got some changing weather dynamics in the works. Could bring some rain, maybe even a thunderstorm. We'll talk more about that. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, on the way. We're also keeping you up to date on some new changes to animal identification requirements in Wisconsin, effective November 5th. Now, this impacts our dairy industry, our cattle industry. We're going to learn a little bit more about it this morning and keep you up to date on the details.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Wisconsin recently got a stamp of approval from the federal government for its plan to expand broadband. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Brittany Beyer joins us. She's an extension specialist in economic development out of Rhinelander. She's also been on the governor's task force on broadband access since it started in 2020. She chaired the task force for the first 2 years. She tells us about the money that will soon come into the state to bring everyone internet access. But first, she reminds us why barriers to high-speed internet exist in the first place.
A lot of my noticings that I brought up to the PSE in the broadband office, even before the task force, was looking at why rural communities weren't applying to the state broadband grant program as often as they hoped, and, you know, trying to explain to them that sometimes these really costly projects that have match are, it's usually really difficult for these smaller communities to come up with the match. And that was certainly something that was a barrier for a lot of the rural communities going in. As far as working remotely during COVID, I was very fortunate to be able to work from home, and we had Charter, which is the cable company here, so that's where we received our broadband connection. But plenty of people who lived any further into rural areas didn't really have any options. So, you know, you're talking about people who already felt like they were at a disadvantage because of living in rural communities, and when that really became a forefront issue during COVID, there, you know, there's a number of reasons why rural places were struggling even more so than some urban places and with that issue.
What are those other barriers, aside from the fact that it might be tricky for a small town to match a grant to expand broadband?
A lot of the providers need to make sure the business case is sound for them to build out their infrastructures in rural communities. So where there's less density and population, that bargain is harder for them to manage. That's still going to be the case for in perpetuity. And so that's a major piece that a lot of communities have to think through as they're looking at, you know, this next wave of investment that is going to be coming down the pike with the BEAD work right around the corner.
And thanks for bringing that up, Brittany, because BEAD, which stands for Broadband Equity Access and Deployment, Wisconsin's BEAD plan just got a stamp of approval in late July from the federal government, and that's going to be just over $1 billion to expand broadband in the state. Can you tell me more about that rollout?
The task force on broadband was in place at such a really great moment. We had already done, with the reports starting in 2021 and every single year, we were able to really raise a lot of the issues and concerns and potential policy recommendations to the state level, even before the BEAD infrastructure money was even thought about, right? One major thing that the task force was able to do is give a great amount of support to the PSE while they were putting together their five-year action plan for the BEAD process. It's the Infrastructure and Investment Jobs Act piece that is for the broadband infrastructure building out that's going to be occurring.
Do you have stats to share with us on what broadband looked like when you started on the governor's task force on broadband or even your work prior and how broadband access has improved over the years?
It's definitely improved. There's approximately 88,000 more locations served this year, and that would be from the report from 2024 over the previous year. So, you know, there's at the beginning, we thought there was about 688,000 Wisconsinites who didn't have access to the internet. And year after year, there's been real improvements, almost in it, as an example, 88,000 people just this past year who were connected. So, you know, the idea is that by the end of the BEAD program, everyone is going to have an option for connectivity. So that's really the aim, is to make sure that every single person is connected.
What would you say the timeline is for that goal?
Well, so the BEAD program is going to run through about 2029, and 2030 would be probably when it really ends. So you're looking at the next 4 to 5 years are going to be a lot of building and trying to get everyone connected. So once again, the BEAD program, and you probably just saw that Wisconsin's initial proposal was approved at the very end of July, and that starts a clock ticking so that the broadband office will, through their grant application process over the next year, decide all of the different providers who are going to be working all over the state on projects that are going to touch every single part of the state. Those grants will start the building process probably in 2026. And so you're really looking at really 2026 to 2029, 2030 as being the moment where everyone is going to hopefully be connected.
We've been talking a lot about the funding that is to come, but there already has been dollars coming into the state, whether it is state or federal funding to expand broadband. And I know you've been keeping your pulse on that as well. Do you have success stories that you can share with us on a town or a family that was able to improve their internet infrastructure?
One of the great stories is actually one of our tribes, Lac des Flambeaux. They actually are building their own providership to serve their tribal members. So, you know, very, very rural, and they didn't have very many options to begin with. And actually, you know, this is one story. I was talking to one of my colleagues who is Lac des Flambeaux and lives on the reservation, and working during COVID, he had to have his camera off the whole time. He didn't really have as much bandwidth because he was working from home. And through a process of working diligently for about 5 years and assessing their issues and talking to the different providers, they just came to the decision that they were going to build their own providership. The NTIA, along with this B program that we're talking about, they also have a tribal connectivity grant program that is separate. They were able to secure a $25 million grant from the NTIA to start that. They're building it out right now, and that's really going to change things for them drastically. And so they're going to be building fiber to the premises for everyone on the tribal lands, which is pretty amazing. You know, I was just talking to another community, another rural community, and I live in the Northwoods. One of the communities was really looking at all of the options that they had for connectivity and realized that because of a federal program called the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, they were going to have some parts of their town built out too, but not the other ones. So they built an agreement with that provider, and they were able to set up a plan to connect their whole entire town. And so they are going to be investing in that, but it's really looking at some of the work that's just right around the corner and just saying, well, how do we fix our whole problem? Because that pot of funding fixed a little bit of the problem, but we want to address the full problem. So there's a lot of communities that are doing really great work in closing the gap that way.
And these examples, they have a butterfly effect, right? Broadband access brings more to rural Wisconsin than just high-speed internet.
Absolutely. Housing values go up by about 10%, which is amazing. Educational opportunities for all of your students becomes a level playing field. Certainly, some of the biggest employers in rural communities are those schools. So if people don't have to move away because their kids can't get opportunities with, you know, school, the school districts start to really face some issues. So if you can attract people to live in rural communities because there is equitable access and people can work from home and people can run their businesses from anywhere, it really becomes an amplifier. You're absolutely right.
And rural Wisconsin may see more of these benefits by the end of the decade when the state hopes to have spent just over $1 billion in federal funding to bring high-speed internet access to all of its residents. Brittany Beyer along with us. She's a community economic development specialist with the Division of Extension, and she serves on the governor's task force on broadband access. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Are you curious about high grocery prices? Well, I have some news for you. A recent Federal Trade Commission report found that grocery chains like Kroger and companies like Amazon have made a lot of money since they raised prices during COVID. In fact, grocery store profits were higher in 2023 than any time in recent memory. It also turns out that prices and profits remain high even after the supply chain kinks got straightened out. So higher prices are not just supply chain drama like these retailers told us. It turns out they are making a lot of money. Well, here's a little good news. Some of them are feeling the pressure. They're lowering prices and getting the message that we won't bankroll them forever. For more money explainers, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us on a hump day edition. Next time, Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, plus your phone calls. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Gorgeous. Great weather at the Alaska State Fair. It looked to me when I was watching you on Facebook, you and wife Jane, looked like things went pretty well for your tractor parade. Where was that at?
Oh, we dragged the kid along, too. We left the Eden area and drove to the Sheboygan County Fair in Plymouth last Sunday.
Yeah.
Beautiful day. We had 17 tractors in our group. We took some pretty back roads and had some fun at the fair and came home. And
yeah,
it was just a great day.
Yeah, even the rust looked like it was happy to be out and about. You know?
The patina doesn't give you glare when you're driving into the sun. That's what I learned.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this weather, because although today looks absolutely glorious, we do have to kind of steel our mettle for what's coming up the next 24 hours after that, huh?
Yeah, a little rainfall is going to build in, and before we, you know, think the worst, it's a little rainfall. The hay trucks and the manure trucks have been running in my neighborhood like crazy the last day or so, trying to take advantage of very, very nice weather, and we still have that in store today. But there's a cool front just off the northwest part of Minnesota and up along the U.S.-Canadian border. There's some very scattered light rain over in Wyoming, scattering from southwest to northeast in North Dakota, very far northwest Minnesota. Scattered little sprinkles, that's it. But that cool front's going to build in, and I do expect sometime into Thursday morning, northwest Wisconsin, we'll see a little scattered shower, an isolated thunderstorm. That rain chance moves east and southeast through the day, should wrap up in southeast Wisconsin by Thursday night. And then cool air builds in behind that frontal boundary, and not a great deal of rain. I think we're talking up to a tenth or a quarter of an inch, maybe a little more if there's a rumble of thunder somewhere. But this doesn't look like a major rain producer, but a chance. And then that cooler air building in behind and temperature staying cooler, and it will be staying drier through this upcoming weekend into early next week as well. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Back to school. Whether you're jumping on a yellow school bus or put that backpack on headed to campus, Bavaria Sausage is thinking about you. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, want to keep it simple? Do all your shopping online. BavariaSausage.com. There's a brand new website in development, so check back often and see what they've got. I know what they've got right now. Some really healthy snacks that can be included in those lunch boxes or tucked into that backpack for studying enjoyment. Those Lawn Yoggers, new flavors available all the time. And listen, if you're one of the folks dropping the kids off, you want to make life a little simpler, one brand new product that's available at the Fitchburg location, some pre-cut chicken breasts. It's all about an evolving menu that they're working on at Bavaria Sausage. So like I said, check back often at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, if you're in the area, or online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. BavariaSausage.com. Tell them the Farm Babe sent you. All right, buddy, let's have that forecast then.
All right, a sunny, beautiful Wednesday is what we've got in store. And in fact, that Compere Financial Ag Weather Forecast is for a temperature in the very upper 70s and low 80s with the south winds around 5 to 10. Clear tonight, some clouds develop up in northwest Wisconsin. You may even see just a little rain before daybreak. Mid and upper 50s for lows, south winds at 5. Clouds rolling in on Thursday with that shower and thunderstorm chance. May not be until midday or afternoon in east and southeast Wisconsin, the morning and the west. Temps up in the low 80s or very upper 70s in the north. South winds become west late, 5 to 15. Rain should end later Thursday night. Friday mostly sunny. Should mention, Pam, a very slight chance almost anywhere of a little afternoon shower, a sprinkle. Otherwise, a very fine day, upper 60s with the north winds at 5 to 10, mid and upper 60s on Saturday, and then warming up slowly Sunday right into next week, Pam.
Okay, not so bad. So anybody that's starting to think about opening up fields for corn silage or something like that, not going to put a big weight of responsibility on our rainfall reporters, huh?
No, that quarter inch, maybe a little more here or there, shouldn't slow us down much. Just give it a day and you'll be all right.
All right, sounds good. All right, buddy, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Appreciate it.
You got it. See you then.
Stumacher Ag Meteorologist bringing you the Compeer Financial Ag Weather details that you're looking for. Don't forget, our friends at Compeer Financial are your partners. When it comes to agriculture or rural America, you can find a whole menu of resources as well as local offices near you. Just jump online at Compeer.com. Ben Jarbo on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Hey, everybody, join us all this week for Todd and Phil's Just a Bit Outside Text to Win Contest. Brewer tickets for a game later in September, and also two tickets to attend the VIP world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, includes an overnight stay at a hotel and a $100 quick trip gas card. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Just a bit outside.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Gas prices continue to drop. The government says the national average for regular dropped another 2 cents in the past week to $3.29 a gallon.
Americans are now paying 52 cents less per gallon of gas than a year ago at this time. Over Labor Day, Gas Buddy predicts Americans saved over $750 million compared to Labor Day of last year because of lower gas prices. It's a result of lower oil prices globally, weakening demand from China, less driving in the U.S., and no major refinery problems.
ABC's Alex Stone. A federal judge in Rockford, Illinois, ruled that the state's law banning concealed carry of firearms on public transit is unconstitutional. In Lehi, Utah, police say the mom went inside a convenience store, leaving her 8-year-old son alone in the car. He found mom's loaded gun under a seat in the car and accidentally fatally shot himself. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona is touring public schools in Wisconsin. More from Lisa Hale.
Cordona kicked off the Back to School Bus Tour with the theme of fighting for public education.
Every student across the country should have access to a high-quality public school.
Cordona visited Jackson Elementary School in Green Bay and in the Oneida Nation, Oneida Elementary. He's touring schools in Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. I'm Lisa Hale.
A marathon swimmer is trying to cross Lake Michigan again. Jim Dreyer tried a few weeks ago, but his GPS malfunctioned and he accidentally got off course. He left the Michigan shore again Monday night and hopes to make it to Milwaukee later this week. He actually made it across the Big Lake one other time in 1998. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The NFL season is now just hours away. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Green Bay Packers will open up the season Friday night in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. Coach Matt LaFleur says the Packers players are ready to get the season going.
I think our guys are truly excited. There's been a lot of work that's been put in from the end of last season to now. I think they are excited about the opportunity to go out there and compete, you know, in front of the world.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. on Friday. Tomorrow night, the Ravens and Chiefs get the NFL season started. The St. Louis Cardinals were able to move a game back up in the standings behind the Brewers with a 7-4 win in 12 innings last night. The game was tied at 3 going into extras before St. Louis got 3 runs in the 12th inning to win. Now Milwaukee is 10 games up on the Cubs and 11 on the Cardinals going into Wednesday night's series finale with St. Louis. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media this week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Sarah Anderson from the Global Economy Project. We're going to be talking about CEO pay. Next up on the Maggie and the Millionaires at 3 p.m. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, it will be clear with a low of 58. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible. Upper 70s to low 80s for highs, and then a little taste of fall with highs dropping into the 60s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a move exemplifying why gerrymandering is a danger to American democracy, the Utah legislature approved a constitutional amendment ballot measure to give itself the power to veto or alter a citizen ballot measure. In a special session August 21st, the Utah Senate voted 20-8 and the House 54-21 to place the constitutional amendment before the voters November 5th. The move comes after the 2018 Better Boundaries Proposition 4 citizen initiative passed, authorizing a bipartisan advisory redistricting commission, setting new rules for fair maps, and forbidding gerrymandering. In March 2020, the legislature passed Senate Bill 200, which watered down Proposition 4 and gave the legislature a larger role. The new commission did draw fair voting maps in 2021, which the legislature ignored, gerrymandering their own maps and locking in power for Republicans. The League of Women Voters of Utah sued, arguing the legislature overstepped its authority. In July 2024, the Utah Supreme Court unanimously agreed, overturning a ruling favoring the legislature. The legislature's new workaround amendment not only gives itself power to veto or amend Proposition 4, but any future citizen ballot initiative on any issue. A coalition is already mobilizing in opposition to this assault on the citizen initiative process. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
They had success last year.
Yeah, we've got a beautiful sunrise on the horizon. It's going to be a beautiful day in the state of Wisconsin. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, and that's really good news. We still have county fairs happening across the state. For example, right now, our friends in Richland County are getting ready for their county fair events. And next week, the Vernon County Fair, one of the oldest fairs in Wisconsin, will get underway in Viroqua. So good luck to all those competitors and all those kids that have put time and effort into their projects and are still trying to juggle school now on top of things. Well, let's talk a little bit about these kinds of historical march, shall we? So today is the fourth day of September. On this day in 1888, printing and imaging company Kodak was actually founded by inventor George Eastman. On this day in 1998, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire made its debut on British television. Google, the almighty Google, was founded on this day in 1998. On this day, 2002, Kelly Clarkson became the very first American Idol, and it served her pretty well, hasn't it? Talk about another idol. Happy birthday to singer, songwriter, and businesswoman, Beyonce. She is 43 years young, and now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFES Group.com. Ashley Hewn along with us. And always remember, they're happy to visit with you over the phone, too. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. I had to quick grab them on a Wednesday because, although some parents may think it's slowing down a wee bit, now that the school buses are back rolling on rural country side roads, for you guys at the Steffes Group, I don't know exactly how to describe your game plan. How do you guys keep track of one another? Is it like a crazy little board of yellow pegs or something? How do you guys keep track of one another? Because September looks busy from what I can see.
Yeah, September is really busy. And, you know, we always have these seasons, right? So if you're going to do a sale that's prior to harvest around the country, well, you only get the first half of September, so a lot of agriculture stuff gets thrown right before harvest, which is an opportunity as well. You know, you don't have to sit on that combine for a year before you use it. You can buy one and put it to work literally within a week. But a lot of auctions the first week of September. I know there's 700 acres of farmland selling in western Minnesota. A couple dealer auctions that are going to be there, and some really, really nice farm retirements in September. There's one in particular with some late model quad tracks on there that you should really check out.
Well, and for people that have not visited steffesgroup.com website, there's been some upgrades recently, and I do want to remind folks, Ashley, if they haven't done business with you guys for what, past 4 months or so, they might want to visit early, make sure their credentials are all in place, everything is up to speed so that they can actively jump in on bidding.
Yeah, if you haven't signed in since the launch of the new website, you'll have to re-sign in, put your credentials in there, make sure you got the right phone number and address. There'll be a verification. But since our launch, it seems like we got everything working. Mm-hmm. There was a couple weeks there where the search function wasn't on par, of course, and now they got the advanced search on there. So not only can you search for what's currently coming up for auction, you can click on sold lots, and then you can see all the sold lots that have occurred. You know, we talk about all that John Deere sales we had in June. All the results are there, so take a look.
Right, and you know, you mentioned we're getting started on corn silage over here pretty quick in Wisconsin, and if you want to follow along on a particular item or a particular group, that website allows you to do that as well, right? And the app.
Yeah, so once you're signed in, you know, you start searching for stuff you might be interested in watching. You just click on it, that sets you right to your watch list, so you can kind of keep track of it. Whether you're going to be actively bidding on it or not, at least it'll be in your watch list, and it doesn't go away after it's sold until you click erase, so you can keep track of what's going on.
Yeah. And that's going to be important for sure. Ashley Hoon along with us from the Steffes Group. So they are constantly keeping you abreast of what's happening, not only as far as the upcoming auctions, individual pieces you're interested in, or even parcels, and kind of getting a gauge on what's happening as far as the ag economy overall. Excellent benchmark, the Steffes Group and all their auctions. Again, remember, steffesgroup.com, where you want to go, steffesgroup.com, and that 800 number if you've got more questions or need a little help with that upgraded website, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
You're going to be hearing about this over the course of the next few weeks if you own cattle. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is putting in some new cattle official ID tag requirements. They'll have to have both a visual and an electronic component. Tressa Lacey is the president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association, and she says she understands some folks are going to push back on these electronic ID tags, but she says when you understand the scope of the situation, they're really important.
This is going to benefit the entire beef industry. We'd be remiss to think not if, but when we have a bovine animal disease outbreak, that there will not be major ramifications on our beef supply chain and our export markets. And so I appreciate the NCBA is looking at this from the whole nation and making sure that we're securing our beef supply chain and we're not going to end up in a situation where we lose those export markets, because that's huge for us because of the quality of cattle that we make. We have to export a lot of that beef. They're doing this with the intention of protecting the livelihood of beef producers.
Tressa Lacey, president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association. So again, these new changes coming up effective November 5th. Lacey says that although there's some pushback and some discussion on the national scene about eliminating some of this pushback, she said the bottom line is change has to start somewhere if we're going to get ahead of any potential animal disease outbreaks and how we can control it. So if you've got questions, you can ask your veterinarian, you can ask the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and we'll keep posting information as well. All right, markets in overnight electronic trade this morning aren't faring very well. The Dow Jones Industrial Average still down. December corn right now down a penny and a half at 408. November soybeans are down 8 at 1004. The December wheat's down a penny and a half right now at 565 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was unchanged at 226. 40-pound block cheese gained a half, 221 and a half. While AA butter dropped another penny and three quarters. I guess it could drip at 315 and a quarter per pound. This morning, looks like our October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down a penny at 23.24. November milk that closed 26 cents stronger yesterday at 22.78 a hundredweight. Just got an email this morning. If you'd like to join us for our special watch party at my house in Green Bay this Friday, I guess there's still a few tickets available. We don't have tickets, but the Wisconsin FFA Foundation does. It starts at 5 o'clock, goes right on through the game. You'll have food, beverages, and entertainment, including the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Bill Jarts, joining us. So go to WIFFAFoundation.org and secure your tickets to join us for the Packer Watch Party while they're in Brazil coming up this Friday. Ben Jarbo stepping in to join us next with a story on a Wednesday.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, Ben and Deanna Malker will join us to talk about big changes in real estate.
And then we'll talk Sputnik Fest in Manitowoc with Greg Vanney.
Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Richland County Fair happening this week. Vernon County Fair occurring next week up in Viroqua. Remember, the Wisconsin Fair Association has partnered up with us, Midwest Farm Report, and we'd sure love to hear your stories on your fair experiences. We've had everything from people getting married at the county fair to that first maybe experience with livestock, whatever the case may be. Your story is unique and special to you, and the Wisconsin Fair Association wants to recognize that. They're accepting your Wisconsin Fair story submissions until November 1st. Want to find out more? Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, or any of our social media channels, and you'll see that opportunity right there. This morning, we want to wrap it up welcoming in Ben Jarbo from the team. He has been one busy fellow the past couple of days, running to a lot of different field events that have been happening across all of Wisconsin. This one takes us to the Arlington field research that's been happening this year, focused in on weed management. Ben, what'd you find out?
Dan Smith, the program manager for the Extension's Division of Nutrient Pest Management, told me about the research of terminating cover crops at various times and its effect of usefulness as a weed management practice, as well as what the herbicide-resistant weeds look like this year.
The question inherently goes to the fact that we're trying to manage weeds with winter rye cover crops, and we're seeing some really phenomenal success, especially in soybeans with the system. So what we're doing is we're going out and we're comparing tillage, no-till, to various termination dates of winter rye, including planting green, terminating before planting, terminating after planting, and then harvesting that rylage for forage value. And what we're seeing is essentially no difference in yields in a normal year. When it gets dry, we do see some differences, but we're seeing phenomenal differences in weed control. That biomass of the rye is helping suppress a tremendous amount of weeds, especially small seeded broadleafs. We're also using pre-emergent herbicides in this comparison trial, comparing winter rye plus a pre-emergent herbicide, using programs that farmers are going to be using throughout southern Wisconsin.
When asked about herbicide use and herbicide-resistant weeds for this year, Dan Smith had this to say.
When we look at herbicide resistance in 2024 and some of the weeds that we're seeing out in these populations, it's really interesting. We've had really good herbicide activation because of those timely rains that we saw, especially compared to 2022 and 2023 planting seasons, where it was really dry at planting and herbicide application timing. Didn't see those herbicides activated until much later in the growing season to much less efficacy. This year we saw good activation, but we did see enough rain that we maybe lost some of those herbicides to that breakdown process a little bit earlier than what we would have wanted. So we're seeing some more weed escapes. As we're looking across the soybean field here that we're at the Arlington Research Farm, we are seeing some grass escapes in our plots, seeing some broadleaf start to emerge. Across the state of Wisconsin, we're primarily really concerned about water hemp being resistant to multiple herbicide tools in our toolbox. Continue to watch our water hemp populations. We're also seeing an increasing population of Palmer amaranth, and Palmer amaranth's being brought into the state by various different sources. We're monitoring those populations closely and concerned. So if you find some weed escapes this fall, we really should be out there scouting, identifying those, and planning for next year. We also want to avoid running those through the combine and moving those to the next field. Obviously, we're going to want to harvest those crops, but clean the combine before we move on to the next field. Take note of what troublesome weed species we saw. If you're seeing Palmer amaranth, send us some photos, chat with your local county educator, and see if we can confirm those populations. Because again, it is an emerging concern throughout the state of Wisconsin, and we are seeing more and more of it. It's a little bit tougher to manage than, say, water hemp, and it's much more harder to manage than most of our weed species in Wisconsin.
Have you noticed the rye cover crop helping with stopping both those water hemp and Palmer a little bit?
Luckily, we don't have Palmer amaranth in our research studies, but we have seen other states research using winter rye for Palmer amaranth suppression, and absolutely. We have water hemp at our Lancaster farm where we're doing this work with winter rye and suppressing weeds, and absolutely we're seeing outstanding suppression if we get enough rye biomass of troublesome weeds like water hemp using this system. It takes enough biomass. We can't be terminating, say, even up until planting. We just don't get enough biomass out of those early termination timings to make a difference. Those later termination timings do make a difference, and the carbon and nitrogen ratio has changed so that that rye biomass doesn't break down right away.
And as far as herbicides go, what herbicides have you tried using on some of these weeds this year, and why aren't they working, and what a little bit on what could the EPA mean for the future of fighting these weeds?
Yeah, so we have had pretty good control of our weeds this year in our research studies, but again, we're going into it with a goal of managing these studies to compare different treatments and to have some weed escape so we can collect some weed data and say this worked or this did not work. Across the weed science program, we've had some outstanding programs this year. Again, because it's rained, we've had some good activation. It hasn't necessarily been the most challenging year to manage weeds, but we are seeing some weeds still emerge and still continue to cause us some grief here later on in the season. Also in that question was a question related to some of the new regulations possibly coming down the line on new labels relating to endangered species. We know this is an emerging area of topic that's of discussion that we should be doing some more outreach and education on. Look for us to talk more about that in our winter programming and throughout the next year. Certainly some things that we're going to have to be mindful of. It's going to possibly change how we look at using herbicides in our system and how we manage other aspects in our cropping system to meet some of those metrics.
So this year we've had a lot of rain. What advice can you give to farmers for if we go through another dry year like we have previously?
Yeah, if we have another dry year, we want to terminate our cover crops for corn and soybean both before we plant. If we have adequate soil moisture at planting, but it looks like it's going to get dry, that's going to have to be a case-by-case, site-by-site indication of how good soil moisture conditions are by going out and doing some infield scouting. If you're universally concerned that the rye biomass is going to hog too much moisture, it's perfectly acceptable to terminate it early, but you're losing out on those weed control benefits, and you're losing out on that overall picture of you having that rye biomass maybe throughout the entire season to suppress weeds. In a wet year, I'm going to be very cautious about going out there because I want to terminate the cover crop. I want to have a good planting date, but I want to be able to use that rye cover crop to take up some of that excess moisture as well. So again, it's going to be a case-by-case management decision.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about weed management in fields?
We're seeing really good success using winter rye to manage weeds, as has other research indicated that this is a good tool in the toolbox, but it's one of many. We really want to have an integrated approach to weed management, use all the tools that are available to us, and think about how we're managing weeds in all of our crops in our crop rotation. That way we can holistically manage them effectively without maybe burning out some of the tools that we have in the toolbox.
Dan Smith explaining their research on the use of cover crops as a weed management practice. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
All righty, Ben, and Ben's got more information from the Arlington Ag Field Research Day up on our website now, MidwestFarmReport.com, or take a look at the Midwest Farm Report Facebook page. That'll do it for us on a Wednesday. I'll catch up tomorrow morning with Cody Koster, broker analyst with the crew from EverAg. We'll talk.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
A free option for calculating a farm's carbon intensity today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
In order for farms to benefit from some of the financial incentives available for being more sustainable, they have to verify what's called the carbon intensity of the practices they're using. Meristem, a producer of biological crop products for farmers, is providing free access to an online calculator for a carbon intensity score. Chief Revenue Officer Peter Russinellis.
You know, there's a lot of white noise out there, I think, for the farmer. We want to provide this as a very transparent tool so that we can help navigate these carbon intensity conversations.
Russinellis says the calculator allows farmers to play what if.
There's some other services in the market where you can pay to get your carbon index score figured out. And this is something we didn't want our customers to have to pay for. We want to be able to go on there, play with the calculator, and better understand what it means. You know, if you change your practices, what does that mean for my carbon intensity score?
And says Russinellis,
anybody can do it. They don't have to be a customer of Meristem. And then if they have further questions from there, we have Meristem dealers and reps that would be glad to work with them, and it gives them that test drive.
There's a link to the calculator on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm back on the home court in Green Bay and welcome the hilarious comedian and Wisconsin native Mary Mack. And from HBO's hit show Hacks, actress Rose Abdu joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A damning report out.